Coming up tonight, Suns and the Warriors Part 2, second time they've played this week. You'll be able to see the game on ESPN. They actually, for lack of a better word, kind of flexed their way into the game and chose to pick up this game tonight. Tips off at 8 o'clock, and joining us right now on the 72 Sold Sports Line, we welcome back to the Burns and Gambo Show, Brian Windhorst, covers the NBA very well for ESPN, and he joins us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Hi, Brian, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Real good. Thank you for coming on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, last year the Suns had that magical ride to the finals, but there was no Jamal Murray in Denver, and Anthony Davis got hurt, and you know, Kawhi was hurt. Do you think there was a feeling going into this season that the Suns weren't as good as a finals team from last year?
That was definitely a sentiment that existed within the league. I think that is something that happens, you know, routinely. Something I've learned over the years is whenever a team sort of makes an unexpected run, there's a lot of delegitimizing of it. It even happens to great teams. You know, there was some trash talk back when the Cavs lost to the Warriors the first time around that, you know, had, you know, they only won because of Kyrie and Kevin Love getting hurt. It's the nature of the game. I do think that the Suns had a little bit of a chip on their shoulder to make a statement, especially after they got off to a little bit of a rough start over the first, 10 days of the season.
Yeah, I got off to that 1-3 start, but 18 wins since then. The big win over Golden State the other night with not having Book for most of them. Like, do you think that's gone now? Do you think the national media people look at the Suns and say, okay, yeah, forget about who was injured last year. That doesn't matter. This team is, you know, arguably the best in the NBA.
Anybody who says that is not paying attention. Because if you're paying attention, what you are seeing is an absolute grade-A legitimate championship contender. And if they don't believe it now, they're going to believe it. And obviously, all the caveats come along with
sure,
there's got to be, you know, health and all that kind of stuff. But this team has the absolute makeup of a championship team. But that doesn't mean they're going to win it. But, you know, you have to have defense. They are an excellent defensive team. If you don't believe they were good defensively with their stats, go look at what they did the other night. And not only that, but during this win streak, they have a bunch of really good wins. This is not – I mean, you win 18 in a row, you're not playing 18 pushovers. It's the nature of the NBA. But they have not played an easy schedule. This is legitimate. They have maturity. This is one of the things, you know, I've been around the Suns at three different times this season. I completely feel their maturity and their accountability. It's not something that they just say. I feel it every time I'm around them. And, you know, they absolutely have a killer instinct, a killer mentality at the end of games. They are not going to soil themselves in their pants when they get at the end of a close game. Which sometimes you see with teams that don't have experience. They've got it now. And so this is a legit team that can do it all this year. And if I was a Suns fan, I would be making them appointment television for the rest of this season.
Yeah, amen to that. Brian Windhorst from ESPN, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. We've been making them appointment television now for a while. You wrote an article a couple days ago, 3 days ago, with the numbers about the Suns in the clutch. And I know you referenced that a second ago. There becomes a question of sustainability when it comes to numbers like that, especially when you look at the shooting percentages of their main guys. I'm sure the goal would be to not play as many clutch minutes, you know, to give yourself a margin for error. Do you think that there will be sustainability issues with that clutch play with the team, given that the numbers are so as wonky as they are, Brian?
No, I do not think they are going to win 65 consecutive games.
I do believe
they will have losses. And they will have moments where they don't deliver in those spots, of course. The shooting percentages for their guys, especially Booker and Chris Paul, are not gonna carry at that level. But the point is made that when you get into it, you know, you have Chris Paul and Booker there, and you have Ayton, and guys, Ayton is in such great shape. I mean, this is the one thing that you notice when you come watch the Suns play live. he just is faster and quicker and better than almost everybody at that position. And his fitness helps him dominate, helps him carry him, get up the court, beat his man up the court, have more energy at the end of games, get out there and defend the perimeter. And so they have the ingredients. And when I studied their clutch play, like went over all of these games where they've, basically put a game into the ground in the last 5 minutes, as they did Tuesday against the Warriors. It was a one-point game with 4.5 minutes to go, and they took the Warriors, put the sleeper hold on them, and took them down like they've done over and over this year. When you watch the plays that get made, whether the baskets are being made by Ayton or Crowder or Booker, it's Chris Paul delivering the play. Over and over and over. And if he's not the assist man, he's getting the hockey assist. Chris is in total control of everything right now. His statistics are completely irrelevant. He is so much more valuable and better than his statistics. You like have a game the other night. I think he finished with 15 points and 10 assists. That's a good game, but it's a relatively average game. If you just looked at the box score, you would say, oh, Chris Paul had an average night. He leads the NBA in assists. No big deal. But if you watched him in the fourth quarter of the game, if you watched him finding those shots, if you watched the way he led them out of the gate in the third quarter, which is where the Warriors' kill shot normally is, you would say, no, he more played like a guy who had 30 points yeah. and 20 assists. And that's why I think Chris Paul right now is a legitimate MVP candidate. He won't win it because it's hard to win it with stats with his level, but he absolutely is.
Brian Windhorst from ESPN, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. You talk to a lot of people around the league. You watch a lot of basketball. Is Mikal Bridges better, or are people paying more attention to him, or are both true right now when it comes to Bridges?
Well, he has just the perfect makeup for a 3-and-D player. He has tremendous size, tremendous length, and even though he's wiry, you can't push him around. So when you watch him play, because his arms are so long and because he knows how to play angles, he's just very effective. And that not only that, but he just works very well with his team. Like when you watch that game on Tuesday, yes, he gets a lot of credit for holding Curry down, but on any average possession, there were three or even four different Suns players who were in front of Curry. And part of the reason he's so effective defensively is he knows we're going to force him left here. We're going to force this guy right here. Here's where my help is. I'm going to force my guy to the help. I don't have help here. I'm not letting the guy pass me. I may allow a jumper, but I'm not letting the guy pass me. It's more than just watching him head-to-head on defense. It's the way he plays within the system and the confidence that he has and how he works together with his teammates. And then, of course, he can make, he can get it done. Actually, I think they should almost run more stuff for him, although how am I going to criticize a team that's won 18 in a row? But
right.
I think he's got more capability on offense. I know he's had a couple of games this year where they've done that, but I think his growth level, there's more room for him to be more involved in the offense. He can do more than just stand in the corner and shoot the three.
We had James Jones on yesterday, and I said, I'm fascinated by the way you built this team, considering you played on superstar teams. You played with the big three in Miami. You played with Kyrie and LeBron in Cleveland. His goal was never to chase stars. He always said, I'm not going to chase stars. But they don't have the second-round draft picks or undrafted guys coming off the bench as their 10th, 11th, 12th guys making minimum salary. They've got one of the deepest teams in the NBA with JaVale McGee and Landry Shamet and Cam Johnson and Cameron Payne coming up. He just built this team very different than the teams that he played on. Are you surprised by that?
Well, he played on different type of teams, but one thing that I definitely think that he looked for, if you spent any time around the Miami Heat, they are all about culture. The Heat, even though they are in Miami, they are a Spartan organization. They have a very Spartan arena. It's cool for fans, but in terms of their facilities, they're not going to blow you away. They are just hard workers. And they have a certain culture that they build. And so when you are around the Suns, you feel, and it comes out of Monty. You first off, you've got to get a coach who instills that culture, which, of course, they had in Miami with Riley and then basically his adopted son, Eric Spoelstra. They ooze culture there. That's what you feel when you feel you're with the Suns. You feel that these are all guys on the same page. They are men. They are mature men who are chasing the same thing. You feel that alignment, and that's what James has created. And so when he went out there to select players, of course you're selecting talent, but he saw that in Mikal Bridges. He saw that in Cameron Johnson. He saw that in some of the other guys, you know, he's looked for. Jay Crowder, literally from Miami, okay? That is what I can now call a Suns player. And look, they wouldn't be here because of those role players. If they had those role players, they'd have a good culture and they'd be 500. They're here because they drafted a guy with the 13th pick who turned into a star.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of different people's hands in that. And they traded for a Hall of Famer who still had a lot of juice left in the tank that not everybody believed in. You go back and look at the trade that Houston made to get rid of Chris Paul with a guy who had this left in the tank. That's legitimate. So he did go get stars. One of them they got fortunate on in the draft, and one of them they traded for. I am a little bit worried about this hamstring issue with Booker, though. I would be careful in bringing him back. This is now a couple of times in the last year he's had this hamstring issue, and they got to focus on that because you can't have a guy with a susceptible hamstring, because if it goes at the wrong time, you're screwed. So I'm sure that they're looking at that right now on how to treat it.
Brian, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks for carving out a few minutes for us. We look forward to talking to you in the future. Thank you, sir.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
Thanks, Brian.